No, we thank God for another good morning that God has given us. And, you know, today we're in Revelation chapter 20. And for me, it's very exciting that we are almost closing the Bible in terms of the Bible study, which is a good thing in terms of, I mean, closing the book of Revelation. It really is a book that God has given us so that we are not ignorant of the times. We are not ignorant of the end that is coming, because at any point he will come like a thief in the night. And you know, the Bible tells us that if the owner of the house had known the hour the thief was coming, he will not have let his goods be stolen. And so in the same way, Christ will come like a thief in the night, and we need to be conscious of the time. But even, you know, in as much as we don't know the exact day or hour, Jesus did not leave us without clues. He told us there will be signs of the end. There will be increase in wickedness. There will be, you know, nation turning against nation. There will be wars. There will be rumors of wars. You know, there will be false prophets and false Christs will appear. There will be a great deception. The love of many will grow cold. You know, there will be, you know, earthquakes, stars will fall from the sky. So many trouble. There will be so much trouble in the last days. And the Bible says that these are just the beginning of birth pains, and the end will not come first until the gospel of the kingdom is preached as a witness to all nations. So basically, this is what drives us towards missions, in that we know that God has told us that the end will not come until first the message of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, is preached unto all nations. You know, and so that's why we must keep preaching. We must keep sharing God's word. We must keep believing and being a witness in whatever way, in the marketplace, you know, in the church, in our homes, with our relatives, because at the end of the day, we need to give that witness. And when that witness is completed to God, then the end shall come. Yeah, so we've been looking and studying and seeing, you know, the defeat of the devil. And what we see in the previous chapter in Revelation chapter 19 is we have seen the glorious victory, you know, of the Christ coming back. And we have seen that there was songs in heaven, there was rejoicing, praising God. And we have seen Christ coming as a rider on a white horse. And the Bible tells us that his name was Faithful and True. And he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. He had fire like flames of fire. His eyes were like flames of fire in his eyes. And his head had many crowns. And on him was a written a name no one could understand except himself. His robe was dipped in blood. And his title was the Word of God. And you see, heaven armies were behind him, and all these are the saints dressed in pure white linen. They followed him on white horses, and from his mouth came the sharp word of God, sharp sword, which is the word of God by which he uses to strike down the nations. And the Bible says he will rule them with an iron rod. And remember, the vultures are told to come and eat the beasts of the king, the bodies, you know, of the kings of all the world who came to deceive you, who are deceived by the beast and the false prophet, and their armies destroyed by the word of God, the word that comes from the mouth of him riding on that white horse. And the Bible just tells us, before we get to Revelation chapter 20, that the beast was captured, the Antichrist was captured. Alongside with him were the false prophet who did, you know, mighty miracles on behalf of the beast. And all those miracles deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and worshipped his statue. And both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Now, when we start now in Revelation chapter 20, we can now see now Christ has come, he's victorious, he's defeated the beast, he has defeated the false prophet, he has thrown them into the lake of fire. But then there is still this other old serpent who is called the dragon. Eh? And so when we read, it says, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven with a key to the bottomless pit and a heavy chain in his hand. He seized the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil, Satan, and bound him in chains for 1,000 years. The angel threw him into the bottomless pit, which he then shut and locked so Satan could not deceive the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were finished. Afterward, he must be released for a little while. Now, first of all, let's just hold on there. We see that it is clear that the judgment that happens, the beast and the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. But then that old serpent, the dragon, remember the beast was given the power of the dragon, you know, and people worshipped the dragon and they also worshipped the beast. The Antichrist is the one who gave power to the devil. I mean, the devil gave power to the Antichrist and people worshipped the devil as much as they also worship the beast. But you see now, judgment on the devil was that first he is bound in chains for 1,000 years. The Bible says he was thrown to the bottomless pit and he was shut. And so that tells us that there is going to be a period of 1,000 years in which we call the millennial reign or the millennium period or the millennial reign of Christ, where Christ is going to rule on this earth, on this physical earth as we know it, for 1,000 years. Now, we call that the millennial period or the millennial reign of Christ. Now, there are people who have, you know, different perspectives on it. There are people who believe that, you know, that this 1,000 years will happen first before Christ comes, you know, to establish his kingdom. And these are people who we call the, you know, the pre-millennialists. They believe that, you know, this 1,000 years must happen first before Christ establishes his kingdom. And so they believe that before final judgment, Christ will, you know, come and establish his kingdom. And then after that, then now that is when will be judgment. So those, they believe that that Christ will happen. Then there are those who believe that the millennial period will happen 1,000 years after, you know, will happen after Christ's return. Remember, when we speak of the second coming, we are not speaking of the rapture, but we are speaking on the time when he will come to destroy the Antichrist and to defeat the devil and the things that we have seen, the beast and the Antichrist, and the false prophet were thrown into the lake of fire, and this devil was thrown into the bottomless pit. And for 1,000 years, then there are also then who believe that actually the millennial reign will not happen, or rather they believe that it is happening now. They believe that for now Christ has already come, we're already in the millennial period, and it won't be there per se, because they believe when you say 1,000 years, it means continuous time. But the position that I will take is that the 1,000 years happens after Christ has come, and this is because we have seen that he has come. If we follow the chronological order, Revelation 19, we have seen he has defeated the Antichrist, he has defeated the false prophet, he has thrown them, and then he has even found the devil, and he has bound him for 1,000 years. And then verse 4 tells us, then I saw thrones, and the people sitting on them had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus and for proclaiming the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his statue or accepted his mark on their foreheads. They came to life again. They all came to life, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. The resurrection of the dead did not come back to life until the 1,000 years had ended. Blessed and holy are those who share in this first resurrection. For them, the second death holds no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. What is Christ telling us? That in that tribulation period, there will be those who will be beheaded. Remember, we talked about those who will be killed because they refuse the mark of the beast. And at this point, we believe that the rapture has taken place. There are those saints who are already taken with Christ, but then there are those who will die in that tribulation period, still believing. Now, those ones, they will come to life. You remember, they were beheaded for their testimony about Jesus. They preached the word of God. They will come to life, and now we, together with them who have come with the, you know, remember, Christ came with the holy, with the heaven's armies, of which are the saints who are made righteous, who are already taken in the rapture. Then also now those who died during the tribulation period will also be awakened, and that's called the first resurrection. And now we will reign with Christ in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And at times we'll ask ourselves, so what is the purpose? Why should Christ reign on the earth? You know, first of all, before establishing the new heaven and the new earth, it serves a purpose, because we believe in scripture that Christ has to fulfill promises that he made to David. He made to the children of Israel. There are promises that God made, and he needs to fulfill them. And also, it will be an example to the nations of actually how a righteous kingdom can be run even on the earth. Remember, when we think of Solomon, the Bible tells us that Solomon was the greatest king, that even, you know, gold and silver was as common as dust in his time, that every man lived in his home. They were able to have their own, they were under their own fig tree, and they were prosperous. But you see, Christ will give us an example of actually a kingdom being ruled on the earth, used in our times, and being done, led for injustice. And we're going to read some verses that speak of that kingdom, that justice, that kingdom of justice, that righteousness that will be established by Christ. But also remember, in this time, remember, people have been destroyed by, you know, the beast, the devil is no longer in the scene. But now those who did not believe in Christ, they are outside Jerusalem. They are watching. They are coming to see. They cannot believe it. But now they are not part of it. And then in that time, of course, people will be born. There'll be, you know, people will be doing their own things. But then a time after their 1,000 years will happen. The Bible tells us, and which we can see in chapter 20, verse 7, when the 1,000 years comes to an end, Satan will be let out of his prison. He will go out to deceive the nations called Gog and Magog in every corner of the earth. He will gather them together for battle, a mighty army as numberless as the sand along the seashore. And I saw them as they went up in on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded God's people and the beloved city. But fire from heaven came down on the attacking armies and consumed them. Then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So we can see the end of their 1,000 years. What happens is that the devil is released for a short time. He comes, deceives the people, deceives the nations of Gog and Magog, and now they come to wage war against the saints who are ruling in Jerusalem. And when they do that, fire comes from heaven, destroys them, and the devil himself is also thrown into the lake of fire, where they will be burned and they will be tormented day and night. Now let us look at Isaiah chapter, just to link, you know, the kind of nation that Christ will rule on the earth, and we'll be able to see, you know, Isaiah chapter 11, and we'll try and see what God says about that. And the Bible says, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot, yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make any a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath of his from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them. The cow will graze with them near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay or grass like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with the people who know the Lord. You know, as the waters cover the sea, the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God. Verse 10. And it tells us that in that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. The nations will flow to him, all will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a glorious place. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to bring the remnant of his people, to those who remain in Assyria and northern Egypt and southern Egypt, Ethiopia, Elam, in Babylonia, Hamath, and all the distant coastlands. He will raise a flag among the nations and assemble the exiles of Israel. He will gather the scattered people of Judah, and then at last the jealousy between Israel and Judah will end. They will not be rivals anymore. They will join forces to swoop down on Philistia from the west. They will attack and plunder the nations to the east. They will occupy the lands of Edom, and Moab and Ammon will obey them. And the Lord will make a dry path through the Gulf of the Red Sea. He will wave his hand over Euphrates River, sending a mighty wind to divide it into seven streams so that it can easily be crossed. He will make a highway for the remnant of his people, the remnant coming from Assyria, and just as he did for Israel long ago when they returned from Egypt. And if we go to chapter 12, it says that in that day, you will sing, I will praise you, O Lord. You are angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my salvation. He has given me victory. With joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day you will sing, thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the nations what he has done, let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. Let all the people of Jerusalem shout with praise, with joy, for he is the great Holy One of Israel who lives among you. When we see these scriptures, yes, I know it is long, but we can see that we are being given a description that God made a promise to David. He promised him that, you know what? Out of your descendants, so one from your root, one, the root of David, you know, will come out, and he will, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. You know, this at times people used to describe it as the sevenfold Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And this will rest on Christ, and then now Christ will rule the nations with justice. We can see that he will not just judge by the ear or by the sight of his eyes, but he shall rule in righteousness. In righteousness he shall give the poor, he shall shake the nations, and beyond that, we can see that even the animals will be at peace. You can imagine that the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. You know, the calf and the lion will stay the same. The child will lead them. The, you know, an animal, you know, maybe playing near the hole of a cobra, and there will be no harm on the holy mountain. And you see, the Bible tells us, and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. People will come to be taught by Christ. They will come to understand God, and people will know God. They will be taught by God. Why? Because he will be ruling on this earth, and the nations will come to him. You know, people will flow to him. Those scattered people of Israel all over the world will come back to Jerusalem. They will be part of it. And ideally, we actually see it is more really a fulfillment of God's promises to the Israelites and the promises that he made to the nation of Israel and the covenants. And you see, he, since they are fulfilled, after they are fulfilled, and in that time what happens, remember, the devil is tied in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. The people are hearing the word of God. They are being taught. They are seeing the nation. But then what happens after their 1,000 years, the devil is released. He comes and deceives the nations. Why? Because in that time, yes, they did not, yes, they were hearing, but you see, at this point, it's not given for them to convert, because it is, they're just watching. There's something that, it's nothing they can do about it, because the devil, I mean, it's already the point where you're already now in the demonstration and in the final, before the final judgment. And then eventually, when the devil comes, he defeats them, they are defeated. And then beyond there, we now move into the judgment seat of Christ. And this is where we'll go back to Revelation 20, where we will see how and books were open and thrones were put, and, you know, and people sat, and the Christ sat on the throne, and the great white throne. And in, you know, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, it says, and I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it. The earth and the sky fled from his presence, because they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and books were opened, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done. As recorded in the books, the sea gave up its dead, and death and grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the fire. Look at how sad it is for everyone that has not believed. You join in the judgment with the devil. The Bible says books were open. Every one of us, I believe God has a book for us. Everything that we do is written. But there is one book that's the most important, which is the book of life. And everyone whose name, and how do we write our name in the book of life? Simply by putting our faith in Christ, believing in Christ. And when we believe in Christ, what happens is that we are separated as, you know, as sheep. And the Bible says, and everyone was judged according to what they had done, what was recorded in the books. This is the great white throne judgment of Christ. And it immediately happens after their 1,000 years, because the devil has been defeated. Christ has fulfilled his promise to Israel. He has fulfilled their 1,000 reign on the earth. They have seen he has ruled with his disciples, or the 12 disciples. And he has, you know, he has established his kingdom. The nations have come and seen. They can see the, what it means for a righteous nation to be led by the Lord. All the remnants are brought together. We can see the justice is established. And then the end comes, because now the devil comes, he is released again, he causes war, and then he's defeated and is thrown into the lake of fire. And after that is final judgment. Beyond that then is the last chapter, which we, by the grace of God, will see tomorrow. And this is the new, sorry, there are two more chapters, the new Jerusalem, of which we'll see the new heaven and the new earth, and we'll be able to see what God speaks about the new Jerusalem. And what we will see is it's a restoration back to the garden, back to the former where it was in the beginning, you know, when God made the earth, Adam and Eve, and that intimacy. But there is more to it, and by the grace of God, we'll be able to see it. So I'll stop there, and welcome for any reflections on today's lesson. Yeah, over.
Thank you so much, Brother Emmanuel. Yeah, thank you for the word. When it comes to the point of people having different schools of thought,
yes,
as to when exactly the millennium will come, I just share the way I try to handle such discrepancies
with
different schools of thought. Now, the Bible tells us that currently we know in part,
yes,
but then we will know as we are. Yeah. Mm. So we see in a mirror. So when I get to a place like that, I ask myself whether it comes before or it comes after. Mm. What is expected of me to be on the right side of God?
Amen.
And I concentrate on that, because truly there will be things written quite all right, but which we will still be seeing like in a mirror, because we are still on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And now, yes, so I try to concentrate more on, it's like in a class, they said, okay, if you have 49 over 50, they may consider you to go or not. Why remain at 49 over 100? Try to get 80 over 100,
yeah,
and you don't bother whether they will allow people who have 49% to go or not. So I now try to aim at, okay, millennium will come. What is expected of me to be
part of
it? Lord at that point.
Yeah. Yes.
So that is how I try to resolve when I come into an area where there are different schools of thoughts, this denomination believes in this denomination believes in this, or this school of thoughts believe in one thing and another school of thoughts believe in one thing. Knowing that when our Lord will come, these schools of thoughts will melt completely. And as he comes, telling people, even during the time he was with the disciples, he said, yes, Moses did write like that, but it was because of the hardness of your heart. In the beginning, it was not like that. Then we now know. But if we are on the right side, asking ourselves, what is expected of me to be on the right side of God?
Yeah.
Yes. Then we can be encouraged instead of getting lost in all these schools of thought.
Yeah, true.
Thank you. Over.
No, thank you. And that's really the great application. And that's what I keep saying. May we be found ready. The reason is really not to flood with book knowledge, but if we don't know, and then, you know, you can meet someone who will confuse us. But as you said, the most important thing is, let's be on the place where we are found on the side of Christ. And really, that's, as you've put it rightly, may God find us ready. May we be with Christ ruling and not be outside, not be in the lake of fire, not be those outside the city, you know, who shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth and wishing and being under torment. And really, may God help us to be found in that Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah, thank you for that great reflection and application. And let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you that indeed, when we listen to your word, you teach us even in areas that are not clear. That Lord, indeed, we trust in you, that indeed we know in part, but a time will come when you shall come, we shall know in full, in the even as we are made complete in you. And I thank you, as we are known by you, you shall know us. and you shall teach us your ways, O God. And indeed, we know that you shall rule on this earth with justice. You shall rule over everything that concerns us. And even today, you are in charge. And I commit our lives. I commit the order in our lives that is needed, that, Lord, you put things in order. We rebuke every work of the evil one, every attacks of darkness, every issues of sickness, every areas of lack, every uncertainties with jobs and contracts and all these things, O God. We commit them to you, O God, that, Lord, indeed, may you intervene, O God. We remember our family members, our children, walk with them, protect them, help them in their careers, help them in everything, in their school, in their health, O God, may they be established. And even for my brother or sister who still does not know you, who desires to know you as Lord and King, that, Lord, may your hand be with them, forgive them of their sins. And I pray that we may be found ready, we may not be found soiled, but indeed we may be found clothed with white garments, which is the righteousness of God. I pray, even as you go, help us and be with us. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Indeed, shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.